Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, the Liveline team are still inundated with calls and texts and emails from women who are speaking, many of them for the very first time in their lives, about their experience of menopause. Extraordinary stories that I took over the airwaves last week, and we want to return to that now because, as I say, this is something that so many people really want out there and discussed. And I want to go to Jane. Jane, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to tell my story.
Well, thank you for getting in touch, Jane. Tell us your story. You are, can I ask, what age in life you're at now?
Yes, I'm 54 years old now. Obviously, my story dates back to about 11 years ago. It started since about I was 41 to 44. I started to feel a little bit not myself. I had the old hot flush every now and again, and then I felt a little bit of brain fog one day, and I had a day I was feeling very depressed. But it wasn't all of the time, and I wasn't really paying that much attention. But I think the big when my whole life crashed really was around May, June 2010, which is when I really, really started to feel really, really bad, depressed and tearful, angry. I put on a lot of weight as well. And night sweat. Sorry, Katie?
I was going to say, you were quite young to be experienced those symptoms. Did you put it down to, were you, you know, familiar with perimenopause and what those symptoms might be?
Yeah, I kind of thought it could be perimenopause, but I didn't really give a second thought because it wasn't constant before, like I said, April or May 2010. I didn't really think much of it at the time. But then it got much worse, which is when I started having the day and night sweats. And I just started to hate everything and be miserable for no reason. With my husband, obviously, I made his life miserable as well. And I was miserable myself, bottom line. And it was just a really, really tough time for me. And I'm sure it was for him. And I'm sure it was for many people who knew me, my friends, my family and everyone. At work as well, I couldn't concentrate. I started sweating. I had brain fog of forgetting things when I always did a great job before. So I really, really struggled at the time.
How did your boss at work respond to that? Was there support there?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't even know I was going through the perimenopause. He was my boss at the time, and he did say, well, get your act together. What's wrong with you? You've always done a great job. What's wrong with you? And he was right. He was just doing his job. But I just didn't know what was happening to me. And I think my mistake was, rather than not going then in May, because I eventually went to my fantastic GP, who straight away did an FSH test, and did a thyroid test, well, just in case it was something related to my thyroid. And then she obviously diagnosed that I was going through the perimenopause due to the FSH test results. And she advised the HRT at the time. But that happened 5 months later, when I've already kind of ruined the relationship with my husband pretty much.
And did it really ruin your relationship? You really believe that your mood swings were what ruined that relationship?
I really think so, Katie, because before that, I adored the man. He is a fantastic person and he's a fantastic husband. We were together for 18 years before that happened. Of course, no relationship is blissful forever. You do argue every now and again, but not to the extent of that hatred. about him and about everything else, you know. So, yeah, the answer to your question, Katie, it probably is yes, yes, definitely. Had I taken the HRT before, I probably would be still with him.
Wow. And how long is it since you separated?
Yeah, we separated. I moved out of the marital home in November 2010.
And did you go on and get divorced?
Yeah, eventually I left the country. I moved to England, but we divorced in 2012.
But it sounds like you have huge regrets now, Jane.
I do, because obviously you get on with your life, as you know, Katie, and I'm happy now. I was happy in Ireland, and I'm happy in England now. But that's after tough years since that happened, because it just shouldn't have happened. I should have got these sources before. Had I gone 5 months earlier, I would have realized. Because that's the thing, Katie, as well. I was saying to your researcher earlier, it was about 2 or 3 days I started my treatment with the HRT. I was a completely different person.
Wow, it was that dramatic.
Absolutely. I have no sweats. No, I was just coming, my weight went, because that's what I needed. I needed the estrogen. I got my periods back because I was too young not to have them. I was told by the GP. I mean, my GP was fantastic. And we're talking as well 11 years ago, where the HRT, it was a little bit more scary, because I was scared. I was reluctant to take it. And she advised me to say
that you needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it. Life is too short. You need to be happy. Take it. Yeah.
Tell me, have you had this conversation with your ex-husband?
No, I have never had. We have kept in touch. We kept in touch a few years after, but obviously I left the country, which is a little bit more difficult, and I don't do Facebook or anything like that. So yeah, eventually I lost touch with him and his family and common friends as well. So I never had the opportunity to tell him. I'm really sorry, and I really wasn't myself back in 2010. And no, I did not hate you. I loved you.
He might be listening.
Oh, he has gone mad.
He might be listening, Jane.
He may be listening, yeah. And I hope he is. I really hope he is.
Would you want to rekindle anything? Do you think there's anything left there now?
No, I think I don't think so. I think it's after 11 years. I did at the beginning, though. I did over the past, after we broke up, probably 3 or 4 years after, I kind of thought, yeah, it could happen. But not now. I just want him to be happy, to find love, absolutely, because he deserves the best. And I do wish him the best, because he deserves it. So now I know we're not going to go back together, but I just want to make the world aware that what happened to me could be avoided. I know that not everyone is suitable for the HRT, but at least get your hormones checked and see what's happening to you, and don't let it drag it on like I did, because I ruined my life, I ruined my ex-husband's life, and I'm sure my family and friends were miserable as well, and life is too short.
Jane, thank you so much for telling us your story and laying your heart bare with that story. I'm sure it will help, even if it only helps one person, but it'll help many, I'm sure. Thank you for that, Jane.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity as well. It's much appreciated.
Thanks, Jane. I want to bring in Dawn now. Dawn, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Dawn, tell me your story.
Oh, my story. I'm 42 now. And I suppose when I was 28, 29, I suppose, like the previous lady, noticed a change in my mood. Obviously, 28, 29, you just put it down to your hormones. But then I started to get hot flushes. Like, I could actually see myself getting red I could see it rising in me from my chest up to my neck. This would happen kind of during the day and during the night. Myself and my partner had talked about starting a family. And obviously we started trying, things weren't happening, so went to my doctor. She, you know, did all the usual checks and everything else. No reason why you can't have a family. So continue to try. After about 12 months then, we decided that we'd go to a consultant in Dublin. And he ran various tests and said, no reason why either of you can't get pregnant. You're both perfectly healthy. He gave me a prescription for Clomid, I think it was called, and said to come back in 6 weeks. Came back in 6 weeks, did some more tests. Nope, still nothing happening. Keep trying. At this stage, we were handing out hundreds of euro every time we saw the consultant. And I think after about 4 or 5 trips, I remember coming home in the car and I said to him, I can't do this anymore. I physically can't put myself through this every single time we go up, thinking he's going to say, right, this is what's happening, so we need to do this. There never seemed to be a solution. It was always just, stay going.
And
stay
what,
going.
Was there a discussion about you possibly
never.
Being... Never. It was never mentioned.
Never, ever. I suppose because of my age, they never considered that this might be the problem.
But
you
had had an illness earlier, had you not, that may have contributed?
Yeah. I had skin cancer in 2005. And I would have been on an interferon treatment for about 12 months. But again, it was never looked at as maybe an issue that might affect my fertility.
When did you finally get to hear what might be going on?
Got to the stage where I was talking to my mum about it, and she had a neighbour, and this lady had attended a clinic in Cork, a fertility clinic in Cork, and she couldn't speak highly enough of them. So I rang and I made an appointment, and they did blood tests and they did scans, and within an hour of doing the tests and the scans, they told me I was perimenopausal. One appointment.
That's simple.
And I was coming home in the car and it was kind of like, right, I'm relieved in a sense. I know what the problem is. But in another sense, I can't have children now. You know, so it really kind of brought home a lot of realities. And I think I cried the whole way home from Cork that day. But it was like, right, okay, at least I know. I know what's wrong. I know what's been happening to me. Do you know that sort of a way? So...
But the good news is you did and you do have children.
The good news is we saved away and we said we'd try IVF. We'd give it one go and see what happened. So we attended the Sims Clinic in Clonskee in Dublin and we had egg donation and I conceived twins, one boy and one girl. Yeah. There were 4 in December gone and they're just 2 little miracles.
So it is a happy ending. But for
it is.
For you, your health, you're still dealing with these issues.
I'd still, I suppose, get the odd hot flush. It's the tiredness, headaches, aches and pains. My body feels more than a 42-year-old's body probably should. Now, I know I have 2 4-year-olds, but, you know, I feel if I bang myself, I tend to bruise easier. I'm just tired all the time. You know, and like I suppose when my mother always said, oh, don't go on HRT, don't go on HRT. She had such a bad experience on it when she went on it that I never went on it. But I think I'm going to call my doctor and make an appointment and talk to somebody because, I mean, I shouldn't be as tired as I am my age.
You've been dealing with this, as you say, your twins are 4 years old now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine raising twins, which I've done myself, with those symptoms, it's tough going. It must be tough going.
It is tough going. And like it does, like when you wake up in the morning and you wake up in bad form and you have no reason for being in bad form, you can't explain your mood. You don't know why you're in that. You nearly get yourself into a worse mood because you're in a bad mood because you don't understand why you've woken up that way. It's just, body is just all over the place.
Listening to Joe last week and all those stories that were broadcast last week, this has actually made you rethink where you're going.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've rang my doctors and I'm waiting on an appointment now just to talk to someone and, you know, see what I know HRT is not suitable for everybody, but there may be something there that might help me, I suppose, feel better about myself and about, you know, I suppose my children are fantastic. You know what I mean? My husband's fantastic, but I suppose the tiredness, there has to be a better way of dealing with that.
Indeed.
I mean, I eat well, I get 8 hours sleep every night. It's not that I'm not sleeping. My kids are great sleepers as well, so I haven't even got that excuse, do you know?
Yeah.
It's just my body, I suppose, my hormones or lack thereof.
Okay. Well, yes. Look, Dawn, we wish you the very best of luck with that. We might hear back from you if you're feeling better down the line.
Yes.
We'd be dying to hear how you get on. But we'll leave that one there. I want to take a break. We'll stay with this after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to go now to Anne. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
I see on my screen here that you were in tears listening to this programme last Wednesday.
Yeah, I was on my way shopping last week and I was listening to the girls telling their stories and I was like every one of them I kept saying to myself, that's me. That's exactly what I'm going through. And every one of them was like listening to a mirror of myself because all their symptoms was exactly what I was going through. So I ended up having to pull the car over because I got so upset. Like I was overwhelmed. And I remember one of the girls mentioned the Facebook page. So what I did when I composed myself, I went onto the Facebook page, the Irish Menopause page, and I sought some advice from a couple of the girls on there because basically my story is in my late 30s, I had to have a hysterectomy because we had 13 miscarriages and
Sorry, Anne. 13 miscarriages.
Yeah, we had 13 miscarriages. Sorry, I'm going to get upset now. We had two perfectly healthy children and then we wanted to expand our family and I had 13 miscarriages. So after having a lot of meetings with my gynae, because of having so many miscarriages and all the D&Cs, my womb and cervix was just in bits, basically. So she had recommended then that I have to have a hysterectomy. So I was in my late 30s and had the hysterectomy. And then about 6 months afterwards, I was put on HRT because I was starting to get flushes. And I was on HRT up until about 2 years ago. I'm 52 now. So up until about 2 years ago, I had to go to my GP to get my prescription renewed. And the day I went in, there was a locum on. So she just sat me down and she asked me what I wanted to get. So I told her I needed to get my HRT prescription renewed and she looked at the screen and she just said, what? You're on HRT 12 years? And I said, yeah. She said, well, that has to stop today. I'm not renewing your prescription. And I presumed because she was the doctor, I should have taken her advice. And I kind of felt a little bit intimidated as well because she scared me a lot with cancer stories, you know, the risk of getting cancer from being on HRT and the fact that I was on it for 12 years, I was at a higher risk. So she said, as of today, I'm not renewing your prescription for HRT. So anyway, I came out of the surgery, came home. And then I was worried that, I was going to get cancer because I was on it for the 12 years. And
how long ago was that, Anne?
Almost 2 years ago, she took me off it.
Right. And you must have been worried, though, because you knew what it felt like when you weren't on HRT. Were you worried about the consequences or the symptoms?
Yeah, I was really worried because initially when I had the hysterectomy, I kind of had a few of the symptoms, but was put on HRT. And I was worried then the fact that I was so much older now, the fact that I was 50 at the time. But I just trusted her because I felt she was the doctor. She knew what she was talking about. So I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll go with it because she's told me this. And then I was absolutely terrified I was going to get cancer. So basically within 3-4 days of being off the HRT, I cannot express this enough. It was literally like somebody hit me with a train. My whole body, my life was crumbling down around me. Initially it was the hot flushes, the insomnia, the tiredness, I can't even explain the tiredness to somebody. It's like you get up out of bed in the morning, let's say at 8 o'clock, by 9 o'clock, all you want to do is get back into bed because you physically cannot do anything with the tiredness. It's debilitating. It's like, it's just like somebody has taken the batteries out of your body and you're running on empty. That's how bad it is. And then over time, then the other symptoms was my hair started to go really coarse. My skin was starting to get hard and dry, and the anxiety was absolutely horrendous. Like, I completely took myself away from being in any situation to be with friends. I'd make up any excuse not to be there because the anxiety was so bad. And, like, this is the way I've been living now for the last 2 years, and my confidence is at an all-time low. So,
take us back to Wednesday. You're in the car. You've Googled the Facebook page. You've made contact with others. What did you do then?
So then I just got so upset. When I came home again from shopping, I got upset again because somebody had advised me to ring my GP again. And I was like, but sure, they've taken me off. And in my head, I was saying, they've taken me off, but she's going to tell me no. And anyway, I rang my GP and I got a consultation for a couple of hours later, and she rang me back and I just started crying. I said, I can't continue the way I'm going. I said, like, I really feel so unhappy. I'm so tired. And I told her all this. And I said, like, is there no way I can go back on the HRT? And she said, but who took you off the HRT? And I said, I'm off the HRT nearly 2 years now. Because I went in to get renewed a couple of years ago and the locum wouldn't put me back on it. She told me I wasn't allowed to be on it. I was on it too long. And she said, my GP said, well, what was her reason for that? And I said, I don't know. And she just told me I was on it far too long. She said, but Anne, you can be on it. And then I just burst out crying again. And I said, like, I really can go back and HRT. She said, yeah, of course you can. Your body needs this estrogen. So basically, that was it. Then she said, look, I'm going to do a prescription for you. And I'm going to email it to your local chemist. She said, and start on them. And she said, stay in contact with me. Let me know how you're feeling. If you feel they're working, she said, we can go up a dose, you know, make a higher dose. So basically, like, my advice is to any woman, listen to your body. Like, nobody has to go through this unnecessarily. Like, only I listened to the, I took the advice of the locum, silly. I'm a grown woman. I should have known better. I should have listened to my body and I should have questioned her, and I didn't. So, like, to any woman going through this, go, and even if it means changing your GP or going to a menopause specialist, go and take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will.
And you got a prescription. Are you back on it? Did you pick up that prescription?
Did I pass? I was in the car first thing Thursday morning because it was late on Wednesday evening when I had the consultation with the GP. So very early Thursday morning, I hopped in the car, went to my local chemist, got the patches and put it on me straight away. Now, I know it's going to take a few months for it to kick in, but I can't tell you the relief that I have.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in you, Anne.
Yeah, it's like, I know it don't work overnight, but like in my head and in my heart, I know in 3 months or 6 months' time, I'm going to be back to the Anne I was 2 years ago.
God, and I mean, I just, like, you have been through like 13 miscarriages. I can't even imagine the strength you must have to put yourself back together again after each and every one of those, and then go through the hysterectomy and then have that horrific experience through COVID when anxiety levels were through the roof anyway. I mean, you're some woman, Anne, to be here to tell us this.
Well, no, I'm not. Like, I have a brilliant hubby as well, and my two children are amazing. But it was, like, I just felt I was hard done by, like, the fact that we had lost the 13 babies, and then I was catapulted straight into menopause, and then for this to happen 2 years ago again, I just felt really hard done by. But like, I don't know, like, it's been tough. I'm not going to say it's been easy. It has been very, very tough since, you know, we went through all the miscarriages and everything else. But like, the hysterectomy and the menopause really just knocked me for six. Like, the only advice I can give is listen to your body and go and get seek advice, seek help, because nobody should have to go through what we women are going through. There's no reason for it.
Okay. Okay, that is excellent advice. And it goes out loud and clear from this show. Get help, ask the questions. And we will be answering, hopefully, some of those questions after this break. Anne, thank you so much for okay. calling in with that story.
You're very welcome. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to go now to Aoife Ní Oichéad. Aoife, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, we're delighted to have you on, Aoife, because you have specialist knowledge that will, I'm sure, help a huge number of women out there. You're a pelvic physiotherapist.
That's right. I'm a pelvic or women's health physiotherapist, Katie. And can I say well done to yourself, to Joe and the team for raising awareness, you know, for these very difficult symptoms that women find it so hard to talk about, and the women that have been on have been absolutely amazing. And I contacted you, Katie, because just, you know, maybe to raise, you know, and talk about a few more issues that the women, you know, might be interested in hearing about, and it might help them further, in particular in relation to the pelvic floor.
Yes, because of course a lot of people maybe associate issues with your pelvic floor with childbirth, natural childbirth, and that is what might cause issues down the line. But that's not just it, is it?
Yes, exactly. A lot of people think it's all to do with having children. And, you know, that is true. It is to do with that. But also even pregnancy itself, even women that might have cesarean section, they're not protected from pelvic floor muscle dysfunction. Even younger women, we see a lot of teenagers here. We see men as well, Katie. But just to say, the biggest cohort of patients that we see are in the age group of 40, 50 and 60. So very much the perimenopausal, menopausal and postmenopausal age group.
And what do you say to those women? And first of all, what are the symptoms are?
Yeah.
The most obvious one is incontinence, obviously.
Yes, exactly. And I suppose there's four main categories, Katie. So, you know, if we talk about the bladder, first of all, so leakage from the bladder. You can also have incontinence from the bowel. And I suppose the bowel side is the second main issue. We've heard all about the lack of sleep, the night sweats, and that can really affect your bowel from a sluggishness, from, we call it obstructive defecation, where you have trouble emptying your bowel. So from the bladder, from the bowel, prolapse is another common condition we see, and also sexual dysfunction. And again, I think that was mentioned many times last week, the atrophy, the thinning of the tissues in the vaginal wall, and, you know, the sexual dysfunction.
Okay, so what can people do about this?
Well, the good news is there is so much that can be done. So training the pelvic floor muscles can do so much. It can bring back bulk to the pelvic floor, which really helps with both the bladder function, the filling, storing and emptying from the bladder, the bowel function, the filling, storing and emptying from the bowel, the support there in the pelvis. So, you know, to guard against prolapse, Katie, you know, prolapse is where the organs come down. There's a few different ones. Even a woman that has had hysterectomy can have prolapse. So it's not just the womb we're talking about. The bladder and the bowel can also be affected. So when you train these muscles in the base of the pelvis called the pelvic floor, you know, it guards against and treats a lot of these symptoms, particularly in the ladies in the menopause age group.
And when you say train these muscles?
Yeah. So, yeah, what I mean about those is they are targeted exercises, I suppose, that we do. If I could just give a little quick example, one that yourself, Katie, and all of your listeners will be able to do. If you tighten the muscles around the back passage, imagine that you're trying to hold in wind or gas. You'll be activating your pelvic floor. Now, this is really not pelvic floor muscle training, but it will give you an idea where these muscles are located. And, you know, you need help to train your muscles. I heard an interview this morning on the radio, another topic altogether. You know, it was about the antigen testing, and the person that was on, you know, was speaking about people using the antigen test when they weren't trained to do it and how the results weren't that good. So I could see an analogy there in the pelvic floor. You really need the help of your pelvic physiotherapist to help you train it. You know, getting a sheet of paper, reading something on the, you know, on the internet, it's just not enough. And from our research and from our studies, a lot of women are not actually correctly contracting their pelvic floor or training it.
So they think they're doing the devil and all, but actually,
yes,
they might be missing the mark.
Yes, exactly. And with the advent of, you know, new technologies and new diagnostics like ultrasound and MRI, they have really helped the pelvic physiotherapist identify the best training methods. So, for example, Katie, you might be surprised to hear that it's not all about the squeeze. So the squeeze is very important from a strength point of view.
I did think it was all about the squeeze, actually.
I'm sorry. But now, it is good if you can squeeze, you know. And of course, like anything, there are ranges of dysfunction. And what we might do for one person, we mightn't actually do for everybody. But with the tests like ultrasound and MRI, you know, we've seen as pelvic physios the importance of the posterior compartment of the muscles in the pelvic floor in actually lifting your rectum, your vaginal wall, and the neck of your bladder for normal bladder, bowel, and sexual function. So, you know, there's a little bit to it, but it's possible. It's not that difficult. And, you know, we've lots of other skills and tools and techniques as well that we can use, like electrical stimulation, biofeedback, you know, some other things as well.
And are you finding that women are aware enough to understand what's happening?
No. My patients are exactly like the patients that you, the ladies that you had on last week. It was absolutely no surprise to me, Katie, to hear those stories. You know, I am living those stories through my patients every day in my clinic. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. The services really just aren't there and available. You know, now we're very lucky in Galway. You know, there's a great multidisciplinary team here. And, you know, it's sort of a, you know, you need to see, definitely, as everyone has said, start with your GP. But definitely you should consider seeing, you know, a pelvic physiotherapist or accessing some care. And don't forget about the pelvic floor. And Katie, just one point, if I may, as well. And it struck me, a lot of people contacted my clinic, a lot of my patients, a lot of my friends contacted me saying, did you hear this? Isn't it fantastic?
Okay, very quickly, Aoife, we're very close to the end here. Go on.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Just the bone, you know, the protection of HRT for bone, particularly with the women that don't have symptoms. You know, because you don't have symptoms, just don't think you're fine.
Okay. Okay, I'm really,
thank you.
Okay, Aoife, and thank you. And I'm really sorry to cut across to you, but we are right out of time. I want to thank the team. I think that's all we have time for, is it? Stand by for Ray.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.